Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
We're carrying on understanding our theme this year, the kingdom of God first. And we've begun a series that is unpacking what the kingdom of God is like. And we started last week by sharing the fact that every kingdom has a king, every kingdom has subjects, every kingdom has territory, and every kingdom has a culture and a constitution that governs that kingdom. And so last week, we began by talking about our king. Our king, the king of kings. And we said he's eternal. Our king of kings, God Almighty, does not need to campaign. He doesn't need to campaign. And I said, please vote for me. Please vote for me. No one can vote him in. No one can vote him out. He's eternally king. And he will always be king. That's why we can trust him. We also said he is everywhere, present at once, omnipresent. That's the word we use. So our king can be accessed anytime, anywhere by anybody. And we talked about that last week. And we also said he's all powerful. He has all authority. He has all power. He's omnipotent. Nothing is impossible for our king. That's the king we're talking about. And we also said he's all-knowing, but the very beautiful truth is that he knows each of us by name. And he cares for us. He's concerned about us. He says, listen, you are much more worth than a sparrow. And yet God pays attention to sparrows. So he knows us by name. Today we want to carry on. So last week we talked about the king. Today we want to talk about we, the subjects of the kingdom. Now when I talk about subjects, I mean people who live within a kingdom. I'm not talking about math, science, and these other things. Because some of us, when I say subject, already you are terrified. Because somehow school comes alive. And there are some subjects that were really tough and impossible. Now it's also true that when it comes to kingdoms and subjects, there are some subjects who are very difficult in a particular context. But I want to talk about being subjects in the kingdom of God and what that means. Now, a subject in the context of a kingdom refers to a person who is under the power or sovereignty of a ruler, a king, or a government, and to whom they owe allegiance and live under their protection. That's what a subject is, a person who lives under the dominion of that king. And subjects must be loyal to the king. And everything that subjects do when it comes to a context of the kingdom is for the pleasure of the king and for the advancement of that particular kingdom. And that's how it operates in earthly kingdoms. And we are using those terminologies so that we get to understand the kingdom of God by looking at what happens in earthly kingdoms. And then we will relate based on the truth when we talk about the kingdom of God. Now, to appreciate this whole concept of subjects, if we think about some earthly kingdoms, some of the things subjects do are very interesting. We have heard of certain kingdoms where, because the king has ultimate authority, if the king somehow caught a lady in the kingdom, caught the king's eye, and that lady was a wife to somebody else, and the king said, I want to marry that lady, that husband would say, it is a huge privilege for you to take my wife. Because they are a subject and they exist for the pleasure of the king and the kingdom. That's how these subjects were so committed. Some even say, you know, our king cannot walk on the ground. We have to make sure he doesn't touch the dust of the ground. And they will lay down and do all those kinds of things because they're doing it for the pleasure of their earthly king and of their kingdom. I've heard of stories where some people would say, if the king dies, I want to give him company in the world of the dead, so they would also be killed. I was in Egypt, and in those huge pyramids where pharaohs were buried, I mean, they built for them stuff and put in enough things for them so that in the latter life they have the gold, they have all those things there. And they had to have servants. And so the people, it was a privilege to be killed along with the dead king so that you serve him in the latter life. Now, subjects would go all the way to do that for their earthly kings. Listen, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we need to even be better than that. We need to go all the way for the King of Kings. And what subjects essentially do is to serve their king and to serve the kingdom. And so for the kingdom of God, we as his subjects need to serve him with everything. We need to serve the King of Kings. Now, serving God doesn't just happen on Sunday at church. We serve God in every area of life. When you go to work, go to serve the King of Kings. Don't just go to do a job. And we just talked who that king is, about who that king is last week. And so as subjects of the kingdom of God, we are to serve. Everybody say serve. That word serve sometimes can be negative, but it is a positive word in the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus taught us how to serve. Jesus served his disciples. It was very unusual. He was their master, and in the book of John, it says Jesus decided to serve his disciples by washing their feet. He went down, he served them, he showed them a true kingdom example. Now, for you to appreciate what was happening there and this whole principle of serving, here's the deal. In those days, if a master did that, that master would be disrespected. So Jesus did a countercultural thing. Jesus is the king, but he chose to stoop low to serve. And then he says, I'm setting an example for you. And later on he says this, anybody who wants to be great in the kingdom of God must learn to be a servant. Must learn to be a servant. So subjects serve. They serve their king and they serve the kingdom's cause. But in the kingdom of God, when it comes to being subjects and serving God, there is a distinction. Because if I just stop there, some of us already are like, oh no, this is just like any other kingdom, no? And it's true, people serve even without thinking sometimes. But in the kingdom of God as subjects, two special things that I want to talk about when it comes to how we serve the King of Kings. Number one, we serve the King of Kings as friends. That's the distinction. As subjects in the kingdom of God, we serve him as friends. Friends to the king. Friends to the King of Kings. Jesus once was having a conversation with his disciples, and he wanted them to understand this truth. And in John 15, verse 15, Jesus says to them that servants don't know what their master is doing. And so, I do not speak to you as my servants. He was helping them understand. I speak to you as my friends. And I have told you everything my Father has told me. Jesus was saying, listen, my disciples, I know you are serving me and you are servants of the King. But I want you to understand the truth. That I don't just consider you as servants, you are actually friends. You were friends. Now, friendship in the world we live in today is very fickle. And the word friendship sometimes means nothing. Because we have Facebook friends, very many. Some of us have followers who we don't need to, we don't even know, and we're also following people who don't even have a clue who we are. But we're there. I think someone was sharing the other day that every 7 years, half of your Facebook friends drop off, and you get a bunch of new friends. And somehow friendship is a concept in today, when we talk about friendship, it doesn't seem to be as strong. But that word friendship is so powerful. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that a true friend sticks closer than a brother. That's true biblical friendship. He says, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. Today we judge friendship based on kisses. And then when somebody tells you the truth, they become an enemy. And so when we talk about being friends to the king, we're talking about authentic friendship. Real, deep friendship. Now think about it. Think of the world's leaders today. How many true friends do they have? That's why the kingdom of God is so unique. We have the creator of the universe saying, hey, you're not just my servant, you are my friend. Come on, that's amazing. And you are my true friend. So this friendship means we need to stay loyal to our king. Because true friendship is expressed through loyalty. Through loyalty. So as subjects in the kingdom of God, we serve him as friends. That means we are loyal. We don't just do things because we must do them. No, it's springing from a friendship with the King of Kings. We're loyal. But also as friends, because I've seen people when they're excited about their friends, they tell everybody about their friends. As friends of the king, we need to be telling everybody about our king and how he loves us. We sing about him, by the way. We are telling him how good he is, because that's the friendship we carry with our King of Kings. And friends that are truly friends learn to serve each other. Serving each other. You see, one person once said that never be mistaken with the people that hang around you because you are successful. And they come to you, say, man, you're my friend, you're my buddy. They are sometimes because of what they can get from you. Okay? That's what they are. He said, your true friends are the ones who stick with you when all the success and the status is gone. They are still saying, you are my true buddy. Friendship with God. Okay? Friendship with God. When you think about it, sometimes we say, God, you're my friend, and we think about it in just terms of what we can get from God. That is very, very shallow. And it's true, God's going to bless us. He's going to do all those things. But when you think about friendship with God, God is saying, I want to be your friend, not because of what I can get from you. I just want to have a relationship with you. Can you imagine? If you think about it in earthly terms, I don't know who the most powerful person on planet Earth is today. But if you think of that person in authority that the world longs to be with, and is the one who says, no, 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 I'm very interested in being your friend. What would you do when that offer comes? You work on making that friendship real. So here's the thing I want to challenge you with and leave you with when I talk about the subject of friendship. We are subjects in the kingdom of God, and our duty is to serve our king and his purposes, but we do it as friends. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Cultivate your friendship with God. Make the best of it. The Almighty God has chosen to be friends with us. Has such a huge privilege. How do you cultivate a friendship with God? Just like we cultivate friendships with everybody else, you want to spend time with your friends. Let's spend time with the King of Kings. Through prayer, we communicate with God and he speaks to us. And that's what we need to do. Pray. Read his words. Read his words. You know, we have many friendship groups and we have WhatsApp groups and we are all chatting and doing these things. The best WhatsApp group is a divine one, and his texts are already there in the Word of God. You can read those texts. Those are texts coming from the King of Kings, who is your friend. Cultivate that friendship. I think of stories of friendship in the Bible, and Moses was a friend with God. The Bible says he spoke with God as a man speaks with his friend face to face. There's a portion where it describes Moses having a conversation with God, and Moses tells God, God, would you show me your glory? And God responds to Moses, says, man, you can't see my glory because nobody sees my glory and lives. But because you're my friend, I'm going to close your eyes and I'm going to bypass you so you can experience my presence, and I'll only show you the backsides of my glory. Wouldn't you like such a relationship with God? Abraham. God spoke with Abraham, his friend, and said, can I hide from Abraham something I'm about to do? I want to speak with my friend before I do it. That's what the King of Kings longs to do with us. Come on. That's the King of Kings wanting to be close to us. So as subjects in the kingdom of God, we serve him and we serve his kingdom, but we do it as friends. Everybody say friends. Secondly, and my final thought today is, a subject in the kingdom of God, we not only serve him as friends, we serve him as sons. That's a whole nother level. We serve him as sons. Wow, let me read that Romans and you hear this. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Spirit himself, like it says, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, listen, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Let me try to unpack that portion of scripture so that we understand what it means to be a son of the King. By the way, when I talk about sonship, it's not about gender. It's about the rights and the privileges that come by being a child of God. It's around that. And the moment we appreciate this idea of serving God as sons, it changes everything. Because so many of us serve God, but we still carry a slave mindset. We are just doing our duties. But as subjects in the kingdom of God, that's not how God sees us. We are his friends, but more than that, he says, you are actually my sons and my daughters. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That comes with privileges. Think about it today. In the context of world empires and nations, if you are the son of the supreme power, what happens to you? There are some privileges that come which other people do not have just by being a son or a daughter. Let me mention some of them so that we understand when we serve God, we serve as sons and daughters. Some of these privileges include access. Did you know that in your family, those who have children, your children don't need an appointment to see you? They have all-time access. My kids don't need to say, "Daddy, I'm making an appointment tomorrow at 12. I'm coming." They show up anytime. But in our earthly kingdoms, subjects, you try and show up anytime. You will understand that, yes, you're a subject, but you're not truly a son. As sons to the king, we have access to the king 24/7. That is our King of Kings. Access. That's a huge privilege we have. Access to the King of Kings. But we also have the privilege that we see after, and I'm using earthly kingdoms, when you're a son of a high person, you tend to have security around you. That's what happens. As children of the King of Kings, we have divine security in form of angels. His angels encamp around us. And so when it comes to serving God, we shouldn't be afraid. We serve him knowing we are sons, all security taken care of. Isn't it amazing? Kingdom of God. We serve him as sons. And there are many other privileges, but let me talk about one other, just a couple more. Because we are sons to the King of Kings, something that distinguishes us when it comes to the kingdom of God, because many people will serve, but they serve with limited authority. They don't have much authority. The only thing they do is what their master has told them. Okay? That's what happens. But sons carry a unique authority in a kingdom. In fact, they're given a name. They are royals. Today, I want to remind you, we are royals in the kingdom of God. Okay? We are royals. And because we are royals, we carry an authority. And that's why we need to serve God with confidence. We carry the authority of the King of Kings. And so when you're serving God, here's what you need to know. Jesus said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy." So as we serve God, go in his authority, knowing that there is no power of hell that can stop the purposes of God in your life. We are sons. So we serve the King of Kings with divine authority. In the Bible, I love the story of Elijah because it demonstrates authority. And I hope you can understand this. Elijah was once faced with all these wicked prophets of Baal, evil prophets. And they decided to challenge Elijah by himself. And so they said, "We're going to set here a test. We are going to see which God answers by fire." 400 prophets of Baal, Elijah says to them, "Okay, you start." They began to call on their gods. They called and called and called. And they thought they were going to win, because each time those wicked people, wicked prophets, by they would call, and they were magicians. They did some of those things. Remember the magicians in Egypt? Moses threw down the staff, it turned into a serpent. They also threw down theirs. So these evil prophets also had a level of power. So they tried to call and tried to call. Nothing was happening. Until, listen, now here's what you want to get: authority. And I just love this truth. The reason they could not activate the powers of darkness was that there was a prophet of God there. The presence of Elijah hindered the power of darkness from activation. The guys even cut themselves and nothing happened. And because Elijah understood the authority he had in God, he even said to them, "Now you guys, your gods have failed. Get the sacrifice so that you have no doubt. Pour water on it." And he prayed. And the God, the King of Kings, answered by fire. Our authority that we carry will trample any power of darkness. Sons, we have authority, but we also have responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Children have the responsibility of making sure they represent their family. We too must carry that responsibility as sons to the King. Responsibility. Responsibility. Responsibility to live in a way that reflects the culture of the King of Kings. Responsibility to do the work for our King of Kings. We don't do it as slaves. We do it as sons. One more story as I close. And it's a story Jesus used to really capture this whole thought. Jesus uses the story of, it's titled The Prodigal Son. This was a son in the house who felt that it was time for him to move on. And he asked his father, give me my portion of my inheritance so that I go. I want to live my life. And then the father says, but son, you don't have to go because it's not about your portion. Everything I have is yours. No, the son said, I want my part. And the father relented in this story. And so the son took his inheritance and he wasted it. He squandered it. He had friends because he had things. And at some point, his friends went because the things went. He found himself eating with the pigs. And the Bible says he came to his senses and he said, even the servants in my father's house don't eat with the pigs. Me, I'm eating pig's food. He said, I'm going to go back home. And when he was making his way home, the Bible describes the father saw him at a distance and ran to him. Now, fathers never ran those days. It was sons who were to run to the father. But he ran to him, embraced his son, took the boy, said, let him have a shower, give him brand new clothes. And then the boy said, Daddy, all I want to do is to be a servant because I no longer feel I can be a son. And the father said, listen, once a son, always a son. And he gave him the ring of authority. And he said to him, come, we are even going to throw a huge party because my son has come back home. He was lost. Now he's been found. The boy thought, because of the mess in his life, all he could do was to be a slave in his father's house. But the father said, no, you can be a son. Today, some of you are here today. And you actually do not know what it means to be a son and a daughter of God. The only way you can become a son is by saying yes to the Son of the King of Kings, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.